Welcome to Healing the Heart with Dr. Eric Love. Spoken of by many as one of the greatest living masters of the backflower remedies, he has the oldest ongoing classes with the remedies in the world, 40 years, and has worked with over 100,000 people. He will be showing us how to recognize and heal our shadow side and the emotional baggage we all carry, using the advanced protocols he has developed with the Love Healing System. To learn more, please visit his website at www.drericlove.com for more information. Now, here is our host, Dr. Eric Love.
God bless you, and thank you for letting me come into your home and be with you tonight for the show, or the class. It's actually a class format. Let's begin with a prayer. Lord, bless our work tonight and help us to connect with your gifts of healing that you're offering down to the planet, to those of us who want to heal ourselves. Teach us your secret visions and your secret wisdom, and help us to be receptive to the gifts you bring and the guidance you give to our life. In his holy name, amen. And now, a disclaimer for the FDA. God bless them. Nothing you hear in the show tonight is designed to treat, cure, or diagnose disease. If you have a disease, go to a medical doctor, or if you're in the 17 states that have licensed naturopathic medicine, you can go to a naturopathic physician who is also a licensed primary care physician. Okay. I'm the only person you'll meet who will tell you that he really has it. I really have peace of mind. And I really mean that, and it's really true. That doesn't mean I don't get hit. People are constantly trying to tear at me. And I feel very deeply. But I always resolve things with the tools that I have and that I teach. I resolve things very quickly, so I return again to a state of peace of mind. Everything begins with peace of mind. No matter what you get or have in the physical world, have peace of mind, you're never really going to be happy. And you're not going to be able to really enjoy your life. I also have harmony in the core. Inside my core is harmony and peace. I'm whole inside. I'm not fragmented into all these unresolved pieces. I've integrated all those unresolved pieces. And I'm healthy. I have no diseases. And I'm not walking around with heavy physical symptoms or pain. I have no pain. And I'm the only person who'll tell you, I'm really happy. I'm truly happy. Now, the purpose of this radio show is to teach you. The purpose of my school and my classes is to teach you how you can have these things too. How you can be happy and you can have peace of mind. You do it through learning to resolve the issues and the baggage and the darkness and the shadows and the junk and the crap and the stuff on the inside of yourself and realigning yourself with the higher power within, with God within, so that you can listen to the guidance that your soul is giving to you on a daily basis. My system of healing, the Love Healing System, which I teach in my school, the Academy of Healing. One of the best systems of healing on earth. Took me 40 years to develop it. It has the power to do things that no other system will pull off. And it's a light years deeper and more effective than other systems. And it focuses, number one, on you. You learning to heal yourself. It's truly a self-healing system. When it comes to the emotional, spiritual conflict, the karmic issues which are causing disease and suffering and pain, you need to learn to heal yourself. That's the secret gateway that healers don't know about. They know how to heal everybody else. I have a student who's a psychic. She says, I know, I can read everybody else. I can do the work with everybody else to heal them. But I don't know how to heal my own self. That's what I teach you. That's the secret gateway into the emotional component or the emotional spiritual conflict. So I encourage you to learn more about this system of healing if you have any interest in learning healing at all. One of the ways you can do it is to get my two books, The Art of Healing, 650 pages, and Physician Heal Thyself, 450 pages. And everybody really loves those books, and they're going to teach you the secret gateways and doorways, and they're going to help you understand how to heal yourself. They're the backbone textbook of my one-year certification program, which I'll tell you about later on. So I focus on teaching you how to heal your own self. Physician, heal thyself. Not only the title of my book, it's the untouched gateway where people don't know that much about it. I had a student at the Naturopathic College. I was honored to speak at the Naturopathic College 3 years in a row. I was asked to speak there. And one student told me, she said, the professors here are so unhealthy. They look unhealthy. Their skin isn't healthy. Why is that? Well, because the secret gateway that nobody knows is how to heal your own self. And I also told the students, I said, nobody's teaching you how to heal the emotional component, body, mind, and spirit, but they're not teaching the spirit part, and nobody's teaching the emotional part, the mind part. But that's what I teach you. We'll talk more about that later. Let's go over and get out all this head stuff and get back into the heart with a poem that I wrote called Longing. August longing and desire. If she could only have the wanting of her heart, then maybe she'd have peace and find some happiness of life. What she wants, all the things of life she craves, all the hunger and the yearning of her heart. Alone at night, she thinks about these things. She does not have the things she does not have. She thinks would give her peace. If only I could have a man beside me and my heart to love me in the night, just the way I should love, to soothe this aching and this need of my soul. Along the desert path, her footsteps take her far tonight, into the hunger and the yearning of a desert filled with stars and galaxies of light. Beside her steps, the cactus speaks and whispers for the one who listens to the secret pulsing of the inner voices of the night. As stars reach out to touch her deepest heartbeat with the quiet wisdom of the universe, she would wrap herself in her desires for money and for love, and for a house, and for all the things she longs for, aches for in the night. As the moon begins to rise, full and red, against the darkened colors and the timeless passions of the desert night. There was a little stream she one time saw, a little further from the movement of her feet, where water flowed down from the mountainside to the desert softness far below. And she could stop and taste the drink if she can find the water flow. If only she could have what she is wanting in her heart. So far away from who she really is, or understanding of her inner truth. The place where she gets nurture from herself, her inner self, is just a memory. And nurture and support and love, she needs to learn to give it to herself. Not to have to seek for someone else to make her whole and fill her up in all the empty places of herself. If she could only listen to the deeper secret voices of her heart, if she could only hear the ancient guidance flowing from the mountain vastness of her soul, if she could only come to know herself, then these desires and all these lower wantings, all this aching and this endless craving would drift away, and she could finally be the person she was really meant to be. The emotional component is a missing piece in everybody's work with healing. Let's say we do body, mind, and spirit, and then all they do is body, body, body. Nobody knows how to heal your stress, your emotional pain, your fears, your worries, your anxiety, your hatred, your animosity. Hardly anybody's resolving those things. And if they were resolving those things, you wouldn't have the problems that you have. They're not going deep enough, and they're not resolving the issues of the emotional spiritual conflict in some way. Most people actually go for drugs. Prozac's so easy to get. You can go down and get some alcohol, drink that. That'll lock up your awareness of your shadow thought. Smoke cigarettes. So in the health field, they just focus on the body. And people have emotional issues. They have no place to go with them. Who are you going to go to and tell about your despair, your depression, the sexual abuse from your childhood? Who's going to understand how your mother beat you on a regular basis when you were a child? Or you lived with your mom and dad and they never touched you, they never hugged you, they never loved you. Who's going to understand that? Who's going to help you work that through and resolve that? You always need to take care of the emotional person, component first. When a person goes to a physician or a naturopath or a chiropractor, any kind of practitioner, first thing a practitioner needs to do is to handle the emotional spiritual conflict within the person, because that's what's causing the disease and the suffering. Instead, they're going to give you something just to cover it up, make you go into denial. Let me read you another poem. This is called Baggage. All this baggage that she carries deep within. She turns away and doesn't want to face her pain. So, see, it's not just that the practitioners are not helping you work through the emotional component. The general public doesn't want to deal with the pain that they carry in their self. She turns away and doesn't want to face her pain. All the inner chaos buried in her heart. Busy. Always over busy. running through the day and racing through the deep and darkest darkness, darkened shadows of the night. The pain of all the records that she carries in her soul, buried far beneath the pyramids, stuffed away below the seven oceans of her soul. This hurt and all the inner chaos in her bones, buried with the secrets of her inner self, ashamed to ever speak or see. No way, she tells herself. No way to ever clear these hurts or heal these ancient wounds. Instead, she runs about trying to outrun her pain, racing through the endless work, the fussing of activity, always over busy in the way she breathes and runs, or cover up with alcohol or cigarettes or Prozac in the flowing stream of pharma night. Pharma night. They'll give you anything to keep you quiet. But never would she want to turn and face herself and learn about the person who she really is inside, and deal with all this chunk of drama, all these toxic records floating on the stains of life behind her soul. Just another woman who has lost herself, who does not want to know her heart or connect for real with someone else. Instead, this superficial life, this shallow spinning of a lie that she believes, the shallow drapings of a person who has lost herself in flurry, a person in denial of the very basic essence, the ancient blessing of her inner self within. Very deep. You gotta go deep. You're gonna heal. And you gotta not be afraid to go deep within yourself. And then you wanna learn to resolve the baggage that you're carrying. Most of the emotional component, most of what's going on in the emotional is invisible. I'd say like 90-95% is. So when you want to find out, you gotta know how to go in and find out. What is it inside of me that's causing me to suffer? And you need a system. You need to know the secret gateways, the secret portals to go in to discover what is it that you are doing that's drawing this to you. We like to become victims, and in order to heal, you have to get out of victim and become proactive and go and deal with yourself and learn to deal with the issues and the baggage and resolve those things. For that, you have to get out of victim and get into your heart and feel. The Bach remedies are not about Bach remedies. If they were simply about Bach remedies, yeah, take this one. This one's for fear. Tonight we're going to go into Junction Maybe Gore, which is for discouragement, hopelessness. Yeah, take this. It's for discouragement. If it were as simple as that, you wouldn't have these problems you have in your life. That's a very superficial way of using Bach. Through the 40 years, I've learned that it's about the secret gates, the secret portals, the secret doorways. Check this out. In the tomb of Ramses the great Egyptian pharaoh, and I believe that's either in Abydos or it's in, could be the Valley of the Kings, I'm not sure. But on the walls of his tombs, he has a tomb, he has what's called, what the Egyptologists called, the Book of the Gates. This book on the walls gives the magic spells, which are prayers, or which are words that Ramses was supposed to say, to lead him through the gates and the doorways to go into the afterlife, called the Book of the Gates. In the later pharaohs, they actually wrote it on the inside of the sarcophagus. What I'm talking about is a similar thing, but these gates, the Book of the Gates that I'm teaching, is not to get you into the afterlife. It's to get you into a higher dimension, this life. Because for you to go into the higher dimension that the world is moving into, you're going to need to get rid of your baggage. You can't be such a workaholic. You can't be so self-critical. You can't have all this trauma. You can't have all this fear and worry and go into the higher dimensions. Because you're going to be constantly brought down by all these patterns and blueprints and all this baggage that you carry. So what I teach in the classes in my school, in my books, is about the inner gates. You have to know where we're going with all this. I'll give you an example of an inner gate here, just a little bit. I've got a couple of good examples. Not about just taking a remedy. If you, vitamins are about taking a remedy. You need some vitamin C. Oh, I do? I'll go down and buy some vitamin C. So how much do I take? So, well, you take a couple of these pills of vitamin C once or twice a day, and then you got your vitamin C. Bob's not like that. I mean, it'll work on a superficial level like that, except for your fear or anxiety. You get some healing there, but through God's grace. But you're going to need to go much deeper, because the stuff that you got that's plaguing your body and your heart and your mind, causing your body pain, causing your heart pain in your heart, your mind. All that stuff is real deep, very technical, very complex. Technical is a good word to describe it. There's mountains like the Matterhorn that you don't climb unless you're a really, really good mountain climber. It's technical. And if you were to climb it and you're not real good, you might fall off, and many, many people have died falling off the Matterhorn. You're not going to die if you don't know how to get through the gates. You're just not going to get healed. Let me give you another example, because we have to learn to, it's a very deep what I'm saying, we have to learn to not make this all about Bach remedies. We're using the Bach remedies to stimulate and catalyze you to heal, but you must know the gates. If you were going to New York and you had a couple of friends in your car, you wouldn't make it about the car. You'd make it about the trip. And you'd have to learn where to turn, what roads to turn on. So you need a map. And you'd be studying the map all the time, trying to figure out what the direction is. That's kind of like what we're talking about. Let me give you another example here. The void. The void is one of the gates. Let me turn over to my section on the void, which I don't even see. Here, this. When you heal, this is one of the gateways. I teach my students about this, and then it's fine. If you don't have someone to teach you about the void, you start going into the void, you go, I don't want to do this. These Bach remedies are taking me into a weird place. I don't want to do this. And that's the end of that. You'll stop the whole process. We want you to go into it. You need to set up the healing process, but you need to know the gates. In the void, nothing is happening. You have a feeling that you're not moving forward. what's really going on, and that nothing's going on, nothing's going to happen, nothing's happening. Your life's not happening. You're just stuck in this weird place called the void. But in reality, that's a place you may need to go into if God decides to take you into that, so that you can let go of the old person you have been and let that fall away to allow the new person that you're supposed to be to come to become you. By letting go of the old, God can make a wonderful poem out of your life. You might lose your identity. One time, I was in Santa Monica, and I had these students, and it was Christmas, and all the students left. They went home to their family. I had no students, and I was just in all of this, like, 1987, and I was like, all this anxiety. I'm going, who am I? Who? Because my whole identity was wrapped up as I was Dr. Love. I had to have students to be Dr. Love. So I thought, oh my God, this is a void. This is a place where I'm changing and growing, and I have to let go and go into this. It was painful. And I went into it, and when I come out of it, I no longer attached my identity to being Dr. Love. I could just be Mr. Nobody. I could be Eric out there. I didn't need to be taking care of you in order to have my identity anymore. It's fun, but I don't need it anymore. The same way when I got the divorce, I had to let go of being a husband and become just another regular guy. And it could be much worse. I had two women in the course in Oklahoma City. One woman told the group that she walked in and saw that her son had hung himself. And the other woman told the group that someone came and told her that her son had put a shotgun to his head and killed himself. And both those women were holistic. One had the Bach, the other did not. And both those women told the group that they stayed at home for a year. The women come, oh, you need to go out. You need to get busy. You need to get into your life. No, no, I'm going to stay here and process the death of my child. And so they stayed at home and processed. And both the women told me within a month or two, the girlfriends quit coming around. It was too painful for them. And they sat alone with their pain in the void. And after about a year, they had healed enough of that pain. And they came out and got back into the world. That's a very tough void. I'll never forget that day when those women told the stories. Oh, and they also said, you need to go on Prozac. You need to get on some psychiatric drugs. And they told him, no, I'm going to process the death. I had one student who told me that one day her child died. I think it was like in a car accident. And then at the end of the week, her husband died. And she said she went up to the mountains with some friends, and to stay at their cabin for the weekend. And when the weekend was over, they gave her the keys and said, you can stay as long as you want. She stayed for 3 years. And she cut her own firewood, carried her own wood and water, and took care of herself and was alone for 3 years in the void. And during that time, she processed the death of her husband and her child. She healed and integrated those lost pieces of herself and came down very strong, very powerful. She's one of the greatest psychics I've ever met. Got back to work with people. So the voids are one of the secret gates. So you hit those secret gates. If you don't have someone to teach you about those, you'll drop out of the process. The healing process is not like a quick fix, and nor is it a simple thing. I can teach it to you, but it takes a little bit of time. That's why my course is a year course. I take you through the gateways and the doorways and show you what they are. Everybody's going, well, just give me a remedy to fix me. Just give me something to heal me. And the emotional component is not like taking that. It's like you got to learn to make these changes and this growth in your inner self. Okay. Let me read you another poem here. All that heavy stuff. Emotions have a purpose. We'll come back and talk about that. Hard. Her heart is like a stone. Closed down. Frozen winds of earth. A heart of ice. Like winter breeze upon a frozen lake. She can't connect but superficially with someone else. Her heart so closed and stale with bitterness of life. A rock instead of human softness in her core. Hard and strong, a rock of stone. Something deep inside her, something happened to her blood. And now she's closed, so very closed and hard. Separated from the woman who she one time was. The sweetness of a mountain wind, the softness of a sacred spring, the tenderness of a sunset mixed with voices of a desert night. Separated from the life that she could have. Separate from the woman she was meant to be. So that's what happens if you don't process through your stuff. Your heart goes cold and hard. That's the disease of our time. The heart that's hardened and everybody's in their heads and nobody's in their heart. Emotions have a purpose. Emotions are like the instrument panel, the navigational console on the 747. They tell you when something is wrong and you need to go and find it and resolve it. If the warning lights are on the console, you need to see what's going on around you. Look inside of you and find out why you're getting these warning lights. So the warning lights in the emotional was like a warning lights in your body, which is what a physical symptom is. That's like the warning lights on your car. Dr. Lorraine Day, she says, if you're driving in your automobile and you get that warning light, you tell your friends, oh, wait a minute, I got a warning light. Come on in my automobile. Let's stop a minute. I'll get that taken care of. Huh? Oh, okay. Okay, I'm cool. That was Don, my engineer, God bless him, asking me if I need a break, but I'm on a roll, so thank you. Best engineer, best in the West. So your warning light comes on in your car, and you tell your friends, oh, wait a minute, let me pull over. Give me those wire clippers over there. And you get out and throw open the hood and clip the wires leading to the warning lights. And now you don't have the warning lights. Oh, it's all taken care of now. And you take off down the road. You haven't really taken care of the actual problem underneath the hood. You just clip the warning lights. The same with physical symptoms. You get those. They're a warning. Something's happening. Thank you. Need to go get it taken care of. Need to figure out what it's about. First thing, the place you want to look on the inside of yourself. Maybe you're living with the wrong man. Maybe you're in the wrong job. Maybe some of the records from your sexual abuse from the childhood or the beatings that you had are coming up. Maybe it's some of the records, all those people that you killed in Afghanistan, Vietnam. Nobody knows how to read the secret language of emotions. So when the emotional pain comes up, it's a warning light, telling you there's something you need to go and handle. But the system that I teach you, you pray, you take the flower essences, and you go and find out what's going on with you. Dr. Friend, who's a psychiatrist who studies with me, she says the action of the remedies is to stimulate and catalyze you to go ahead and do the work on yourself, the inner changes on the inner that you need to do. People don't know how to read the secret language of emotions. They, a lot of times, don't even want to do it. They say, just give me, pass me a joint, hand me one of those cigarettes, and let's have another glass of wine. Give me some of that Oxycontin. I don't want to feel my pain. We'll clip the lights, the warning light to the engine, and then we're going to be fine. There was a story I read in Romania where some boys come back from Germany. They were Jewish, and they came into their community, and they started telling people, hey, they're killing people that are Jews in Germany. They're going to come over here, and they're going to kill all of us guys. And all the Jewish folks there said, no way. You know, they wouldn't do that. And they kept warning, these were young kids, 16, 17. And they kept warning the Jewish people. And about 2 weeks, nobody did anything. About 2 weeks later, the German war machinery rolled over the border and began to destroy the Romanian military. And the Einsatzgruppen, SS, specially trained soldiers, in the police force of Romania, they went and rounded up the Jews and took them out and shot them. But these boys, they knew it was coming, and they went up in the hills, joined the resistance. These boys survived the war. When the warnings come, you want to listen. One time I was in Mexico, we were setting up a holistic restaurant, health food distribution company. And my wife at the time, and my friend Michael, his wife, they started warning Michael and I that there was something wrong with our attorney. Well, we were living in, right outside of Guadalajara. We had this beautiful hacienda. We had horses. We had a man who took care of the horses. And his daughter was 12 years old, and she was a babysitter, and she took care of the babies. Would say, you know, bring the horses at 12 o'clock. And 12 o'clock, he'd be showing up with these steeds at this big front door, and we'd get out and ride them through the fields. It was just wonderful. But the girls kept saying, there's something wrong with the attorney. And we kept telling the girls, no, you know, you're just being too emotional. Then one day the attorney took us aside and said, would you set me up with your babysitter? You want to have sex with the babysitter? I freaked out. Michael freaked out. And we fired that guy. And then I realized one of the biggest lessons in my life, when the women talk and tell you of a hunch and a feeling they have with their woman's intuition, you better listen. So all of the men who are listening to this, it's one of my messages. You need to listen to the women. I studied with a medicine man. I produced some workshops for him. One night at 3 in the morning, he had been telling us for the last hour and a half about every change that he had made on the inside of himself was initiated by a woman. And that we needed to listen to the women. And this woman stood up and started pointing her fingers at the different people and started telling what the faults were in each person. And our teacher, the medicine man, he just was quiet. And she went on for an hour, talked about everybody and how phony they were, and they were acting and posing, all this crazy stuff, except for me, thank God. I hadn't had much interaction with them. She even went and told all the faults about the medicine man, and she was crying the whole time. And he let her go, and when she finally sat down, he said, "See? Every change I have ever made has been initiated at the hands of a woman. So I learned to listen. But a man needs to learn to listen to the voice of the woman inside yourself. We all have women's intuition. In the Cherokee, they call it your woman. And on one show coming up in a few weeks, I'll talk about the man and the woman. But each one of us has an inner woman. We have an inner man and an inner woman, and an inner child, a little girl or a little boy, depending on if you're a man or woman. And we need to listen to the voice of the woman inside of us. That's the voice of the woman's intuition. That's where you learn to heal your inner self, is to develop a deeper connection with the inner voice of the woman inside yourself, which is the voice of healing, and the voice of the soul inside yourself, which is the highest voice of guidance that you have. So the emotions are our early warning system to tell us that something is off and you need to go and detect the karmic particles which are descending on us. All the great masters of the East say that the diseases, that all the major events in a person's life are predestined, and that the diseases of a person's life are predestined. God has something to teach us, and they come about by this karmic energy, or the karmic particles that come down on us. So when we have the suffering, we need to stop and get in touch with God and learn to use a system that's capable to deal with these things and learn to rectify them. And when we rectify them, most of the time they will just simply vaporize. That's what I teach you in my program. Let me read you another point, then we're going to get to our remedy tonight. If she could only understand her heart and understand the feelings that she has so deep inside, if she could only learn about her inner truth and step out of the games and head trips everybody plays and move away from the person everybody wants her to be and step into her and become the person who she could become. And be the person she was really meant to be. So tonight we're going to take up the box flower remedy called gentian, or gentian. People call it different ways. Those who are easily discouraged, Bach writes, they may be progressing well in illness or in the affairs of their daily life, but any small delay or hindrance to progress causes doubt and soon disheartens them. So gentian is discouraged by setbacks, delays, hindrances, failures, difficulties, and reversals. The person's mind is just eat up with all that. They're discouraged. They're depressed. You know why? So you've got five depression remedies, and they work real good. Real good. They help you to process and go through the changes on your inner self so that you can resolve this pain that you have in your heart. You've got Starved FM, which is for grief and sorrow and sadness. Mustard, which we took up last week, which is for depression as a black cloud. Gentian will take up today. Black cloud, no cause, depression, no cause. And gentian will take up today. And gorse, which is a remedy for hopelessness, we may take up today. And sweet chestnut, which is a remedy for anguish, like a prisoner of war. Those are your five remedies for depression. Discouraged by setbacks, delays, hindrances, failures, difficulties, and reversals. You just go over in a person's mind, and they go, oh man, there's just, things are just going so much against me, just so many setbacks and delays. You know, you want to embrace failures, and you want to not think that you're always failing and you're always being set back. My favorite example is Thomas Edison, who, in order to come up with the electric light bulb, he actually literally, and this is the truth, he did 10,000 separate experiments. And he failed at every one. Napoleon Hill said in a lecture that I heard that he had actually, he was a friend of Thomas Edison, stayed at Thomas Edison's house, had dinner with his family. And he said that he saw the logbooks that Thomas Edison did, and each experiment was very thick. 10,000 separate experiments, but he never got discouraged. If a person falls into discouragement, then you're getting discouraged. And it's just another way to fall. Gentian is a flower essence for that. Discouragement. Depression from a known cause. I'm depressed, but I know why. It's because I haven't been able to get a job. I haven't been able to find a house. I haven't been able to find the work that I need. So I'm getting discouraged. Easily discouraged. When things start going wrong, you just quit. Gives up from despondency. Discouraged by specific setbacks in one's life. Disheartened. Loss of enthusiasm, inspiration, and faith. Feels cards are stacked against me. And then you have doubt. Lost faith. Doubt means lost faith. She doesn't believe the project will work out anymore. So a gentian person has lost their faith. If Edison lost his faith, he never would have done those 10,000 experiments. He would have stopped, and he would also have been in pain from the discouragement. Uncertainty through lack of faith. So this is a remedy for faith. When your faith starts slipping. Uncertainty through lack of faith. Lack of personal faith. With a refusal to see that the cause lies within. This is because you become what you think about. If you brood about how many failures you're having, if you lose faith, then you're going to be creating your own reality, which you don't want. By thinking about failures, you're going to bring about failures. But a lot of times you don't have any choice. It just comes over to you so strong and overwhelms you that you're so discouraged. That's attention. Negative outlook. This is one of the remedies that has a negative mental attitude. Get negative on the inside of themselves. Gentian's usually not spewing negative. They just are negative on their inner self, pessimistic. In illness, a patient has been upset and discouraged by setbacks in their case. I had a funny situation. situation with cancer. I was living in Brentwood. And a woman moved in a couple doors down. I used to go down and check on her, see how she was. And she had come to L.A., if I can remember this, back oh, 85, 86. She had come to L.A., oh, yeah, to work as a designer with a design clothing design company. And they had offered her this work and a wonderful salary, and she was going to help design clothes. So she moved to L.A. She got herself an apartment, this condominium where I was living. And when she went to work, they told her, listen, we've had some changes, and we're not going to be able to hire you. So then she was so discouraged. And then she was going around looking for work and couldn't find anything. And one night I went over, and she says, I'm so discouraged. I've never been so discouraged in my entire life. I'm just in so much pain. I wanted to visit with her, and she was in a bad way. So I said, well, look here. So you're really discouraged, right? She said, yeah, it's worse I've ever been in my whole life. And I went back and made a bottle of gentian, brought it back. She was drinking soda pop or something, and I said, squirt this in your pop. So she started taking it. About an hour later, I said, let me ask you a question. Do you feel discouraged? She said, no. I said, you don't feel any discouragement at all? She said, no. I said, not even a little bit? She said, no. So then when I left that evening, I said, so why don't you take this four drops four times a day? That was the last I ever heard her talk about discouragement. Things did eventually work out for her. Bach wrote, by bringing ourselves to such an atmosphere of peace, our souls are able to speak to us through our conscience and intuition, and to guide us according to their wishes. In this particular age, our soul, God has chosen to use physical disease, pain, and suffering as a wake-up call to get us to make the changes inside ourselves on the inner self that God wants us to make. Quit having so much animosity. Quit being so negative. Quit having so much worry and fear. Spirit, quit having so much pride and arrogance. Spirit wants us to make these changes and is using the suffering as a wake-up call. It's what we need is to be able to learn to listen to the guidance of our own soul. If we can, Bach continues, if we can only set aside a short time every day, quite alone, and in as quiet a place as possible, free from interruption, and merely sit or lie quietly, either keeping the mind a blank or calmly thinking of one's work in life, it will be found after a time that we get the help, great help, such moments, and as it were, flashes of knowledge and guidance are given to us. This is the spirit part of body, mind, and spirit. This all encapsulated body, mind, and spirit. This is what spirit means. So if you can be still and go inside, you're going to get the flashes of, listen to this, you got a pen, write this down. It's really important. Flashes of knowledge and guidance are given to us. If you're going to heal, you need to be able to get the guidance and the knowledge from the inner self, the higher self, the God self. We find that the questions of the difficult problems of life are unmistakably answered, and we become able to choose with confidence the right course. Throughout such times, we should keep an earnest desire in the heart to serve humanity and work according to the dictates of our soul. So the spiritual part of body, mind, and spirit is to learn to tune in to the wisdom and the guidance and the actual dictates of our own soul. And then we're not going to need that wake-up call anymore. my friend who went to go pee and blood came out. She said, I have to leave that man or else I'm going to get sick. About five nights later, in the middle of the night, she snuck out. For several years, he never knew where she was. She never went back. He had molested the daughter, and he had forced her to have sex all the time. And he had abused her emotionally. And it was time that she leaves. And God was giving her the physical problems, the blood, the urine, as a wake-up call. Again, 90% of the emotion is invisible. You're going to have to go to a digging. You're going to have to go listen to your inner self. And that's why we use the box flowers, to help us to get in touch with our soul and to find the changes and the growth and the advancement and the forward steps we need to make in the inner self to become the person that God would like us to be. Now, let's take up Gorse. Gorse is the Bakrumi number four of what I call the depression group. The people say they're depressed. It's four remedies. Star, mustard, gentian, gorse, and sweet chestnut. They handle the entire spectrum of that type of mood. The mood is just given to us because there's something we need to heal. I was very depressed. I was working in a sawmill. I prayed to God, please get me out of here. I hated my life. And I was so depressed. And I used that. I followed that and prayed. The mill ended up closing down. And I ended up learning healing. That's how I got into healing. The mood of despair and depression is to get you to make some changes in yourself. 90% of the emotional component is invisible. So you're going to need to pray, take your Bach flowers, according to the protocol, and learn about yourself and learn what it is on the inside of yourself that you are running from, that you need to go and you need to resolve. Dr. Bach wrote, very great hopelessness for Gorse, very great hopelessness. They have given up belief that more can be done for them. Under persuasion or to please others, they may try different treatments, at the same time assuring those around them that there is little hope of relief. So this remedy is for true, pure hopelessness. The question you always ask people, do you feel hopeless? Well, a person will only tell you they feel hopeless if they do. So it's a simple remedy to figure out. Do you feel hopeless? That's a big issue on an everyday basis. Hopelessness. She feels her situation is impossible. Irremediable. Irreparable. Cureless. No way you can resolve this. It's a hopeless situation. You feel hopeless. It's a deep emotional pain. And Gorse is for hopelessness. And the Gorse people, they feel really... Okay, look, I'll tell you this funny story about Gorse. So very great hopelessness, right? And the people who were the Gorse people, they feel really hopeless, right? So there was this guy, and my wife at the time hated him. His name was Potato John. He was in Humboldt County. We were in Arcata. And my wife hated him. Good old Potato, but I liked him. Good old Potato John. But he was so friggin' negative. How are you doing? I go into town, he'd be standing there, and I go, how are you doing, Potato John? You go, oh, I'm not doing very well. Well, you should cheer up. Things are going to get better. And you go, No, they're not going to get better. Things are only going to get worse for me. I mean, he would actually say this, right? And to me, I thought, you know, well, God bless him. Give him some flower essences. So, and then my wife hated him. She said, why do you talk to that guy? He's so negative. But and what had happened, the only time he's ever happy, he said, was when he was in Hawaii. And during the summer, he'd go inland and pick potatoes. That's why they called him Potato John. But every time you talk about him, things are getting bad, and they're getting worse. And nothing, he'd go like, if I could go inland, maybe I'd feel a little better, but it really wouldn't last. The only place I've ever been feel good was when I was in Hawaii, but it never really lasts. So then I finally got to go where I go, like, I come into town, I go, Potato John, it's good to see you. He goes, hi, Eric. And then I go, things are really bad, aren't they? And he goes, yeah, they're bad. And they're getting worse. They're going to get worse, aren't they? And they go, yeah, they're going to get worse. I just laughed. But one day, I whipped out a bottle, of course, for this guy, for hopelessness. And I said, now I want you to take this 4 times a day for a month. So at the end of the month, I came back, and he, I tell you, the guy didn't even look like the same guy. He looked so good. And I came up, and I said, Potato John, you look so good. He goes, well, you know, maybe I'm having a good spell, but, you know, I don't know. I don't know if it's going to last. I said, that's those remedies working. Are you as negative and feel as hopeless as you were? Well, no, I'm having some good spells, good things happening. But do you want to take the remedies some more? No, I don't want to take them. And then he went back to being negative. God bless him. That was so funny. Good to have a heart to want to help other people. It builds your heart to want to help other people, and I've been running around doing that for 40 years. And that's what I teach all my students to do in my class, is to help other people. Lost faith. He feels futility about continuing his efforts. His problems seem impossible for him to solve. There is within him no explanation of any kind for a favorable outcome. He's just real negative, resigned. Lots of despair, uncertainty through a lack of hope, material and physical despair. When you fall into hopelessness, it's a very painful, very heavy despair. Skeptical, disbelief, mistrust. She expects the worst possible outcome. Feeling that suffering is one's fate. Hopelessness because the person feels that they have inherited a condition or a tendency which dooms them to a lifetime of suffering. They must bear their suffering for the rest of their lives. Persuaded by others to please others. So when I leaned on Potato John, he tried to remedy. So the gorse person will take remedies and do things if you lean on them a little bit, persuaded by others against their better inclination, influenced by the decision of others. And melancholy, again, my father, his favorite joke in the world, he'd get so sad looking, he kept telling us before he died over and over, he'd get so sad looking, what kind of a dog likes watermelon? But what? He'd go, a melancholy. And he'd look so sad. God bless him. Melancholy. Gives in to setbacks. Well, they give in because they just don't believe anything's going to get any better. No hope of recovery. They don't have any hope. They lack ambition. Lack of interest through their hopelessness. In an illness of long duration, there may be hopelessness because it's just been there for so long. So that's the gorse remedy. I had this guy in the class in nowhere, it was in Dallas. Two guys. Amazing. I'll never forget this. And we got to the gorse, and we got to Sweet Chestnut, which is incredible despair. Prisoner of war. anguish, burning, searing anguish inside. Worse than all of these. The sweet chestnut come to me. It's very painful. And I had these two guys, and they both said, they both told their story, and they both told the same thing. It was amazing. They said that they both felt hopeless, and both felt anguish. And they came to a point, and they prayed, "Oh God, will you please help us to heal?" And they prayed with a lot of sincerity. And they both told the story that the anguish and the hopelessness just went away. That's a cool story, isn't it? It's a body, mind, and spirit. You can't sell that. You can't make any money off the spirit. But if you're going to heal, you need to know how to go to your spirit, to your soul, to your higher power, to your Godhead, to your God self. Go to God and ask God to help you to heal and to learn what it is he's trying to teach you about this experience. Every spiritual person in the world will tell you that God gives you experiences. There is something that you're supposed to learn. Nothing happens on its own. Nothing happens by accident. The words of Anya from London, "God bless you, Anya." Everything happens for a reason. Everything is a lesson. Those are her words. Frozen winds of earth, an iciness of heart. She shuts her feelings down and closed off to her heart. The brokenness and separation that she feels, and pain of soul and bones, never being with her inner self to find out who she really is. Always chasing phantoms of the night and never understanding her true self, a sacred vision of her life. So let me tell you before we go, let me tell you about my certification program. I have a certification program, a year. More if you need. And we give certified homeopath. We give certified nutrition consultant. We give certified herbalist. And we give homeopathic certification in the treatment of animals. I sit beside you for a year, and we talk on the telephone once a week for an hour, sometimes longer if you need. And I help you go through the gateways and the doorways of your inner self so you can learn those gateways and doorways inside the inside of yourself. I help you understand how to process, how to heal. You can heal yourself. You can deliver that to anyone. Help them. So I teach you the advanced protocols with the Bach flowers. It took me 4 years to figure out. Also teach you, and it should be the greatest healing of your entire life. I promise that to everyone. Very few people are disappointed. I teach you the wonderful SAF system, which Louise Hay says is one of the most effective healing systems on earth. The SAF, I love it to death. I feel like it's one of the most powerful systems on earth. And I teach you that. I also teach you the wonderful alignment technique, puts all the bones of the spine into a complete spinal alignment. You never touch the spine, you muscle test the feet, and touch behind the forehead and on the forehead, all the bones of the spine, and just gently move into a complete spinal alignment. It'll blow your mind. Get most people out of pain. And what else do I teach? There's two nutrition system, diet systems that work really good to heal people. Really good. From Dr. Lorraine Day. And I teach, that's one, and then there's another that I teach. So we give a certified nutrition consultant. And program is a wonderful program if you're interested in learning the healing, working with a guy like me. Welcome to give me a call. My phone number, 406-585-0774. My website, drericlove.com. My email address, medicinewind.11@gmail.com. And again, my phone number, 406-585-0774. This system I'm trying to bring to the world via this radio show and try to introduce to people that you can heal yourself, you can heal the emotional spiritual conflict within, you can heal the invisible issues which are causing you to suffer, you can stand on your own two feet and take care of your own healing and learn to help the people around you so as to be a blessing to people, so as to be able to have the power to take care of your own junk and heal yourself instead of being lost in the wilderness of this materialistic, money-driven, ego-driven world of power and delusion. God bless us all, and thank you again for letting me come into your home. And until next week, which we'll take up the sweet chestnut. Until next week, thank you again for letting me come into your home. And you have a wonderful, wonderful week. God bless you.
Healing the Heart with Dr. Eric Love can be heard every Sunday night here on the BBS Radio Network at 6 p.m. PST and 9 p.m. Eastern on Station 1. Please visit his website at www.drericlove.com or call him at 406-585-0774. Thank you for listening.